Welcome to a developer's guide for Windows 10 preview. I'm Jerry Nixon, developer evangelist from the United States, and I'm here with Andy. Andy, where are you from?
United Kingdom.
Ah, brilliant. Yeah. Wherever you're from, you're here with us today because we're talking about Windows 10 preview. So we have a lot of things to cover, but we want to go through just Hello World, the simplest of all, so we can kind of see how you can just get started and take advantage of the SDK that you have today.
Yep.
Brilliant. All right, so specifically, I want to talk about the Universal App Platform. Then we'll go through kind of how your solution is structured, how your UI and interface get structured, and then actually build a quick Hello World together. Makes sense. The journey to get to where we are, Andy, has been an exciting one.
Yeah, it has. I mean, we've been on this road for a long time, getting our different device families converged to where we are today. You know, you go back to Windows Phone 7.5, Xbox 360, we kind of had convergence around Internet Explorer. You get to Windows Phone 8, Windows 8, and Xbox One, and at that release, we got a deep integration down to the operating system level. So right down at the drivers, it was the same kernel. Moving on to Windows 8.1, this for developers where stuff really gets interesting because there we had the converged app model. So with Windows 8.1, you can build universal apps using the same WinRT API set.
And all the way up to there, we were always building apps for those specific targets. Even when we saw the converged app model, you were still building multiple binaries for multiple devices.
That's correct, yeah. But the difference now with Windows 10, we've now got this the common platform where we are creating one binary that's going to run across all of these different device families.
We have finally made it.
We have.
That's the way to look at it. All right. So let's talk about the Universal App Platform. This is what part of what enables it. Of course, we also know there's the Windows Core and all of these things. But how does UAP actually play into it? UAP is the Universal App Platform. It's a collection of contracts and versions. And it every time you have Windows 10 installed, you can go on your own to the Windows SDK folder and see just what UAP versions are enabled on your desktop, on your version, your device.
Yeah, and you over time you'll find there'll be new versions will install side by side. So UAP is this platform that will be revved independently of the underlying operating system.
Even with Windows 8, we were enabled to build Windows applications with WinMDs that were there provided by the Windows operating system. Now we still have those WinMDs, but they're in these folders, and they get mixed together in different ways. And so here we can see platform XAML actually identifies 10.0.9910. Of course, this is Windows 10 preview, so who knows what it'll end up being. But that version of UAP includes these four contracts, which if we were to drill in further, you would see really includes these four WinMD files.
Yeah. So these contracts are just collection of APIs, but fundamentally you just need to think of the UAP as a converged API surface that you develop against, which, weirdly enough, is what you already know because it's actually the same. It's a superset of the same APIs. If you've been building for Windows 8.1, it's the same APIs.
It should be very comfortable for you, that's right. And I think the takeaway here is now we no longer target Windows. It used to be you would target Windows 8.0, 8.1 came out. Now we need to retarget to Windows 8.1. That, as now we're seeing Windows as a service, and we're going to see upgrades to Windows more frequently. How frequently do developers need to retarget their applications? That's not even an issue anymore with UAP. So with UAP, we target the platform, not the operating system. So I have UAP and I have this guaranteed set of WinMDs. They're going to be on and on and on. No matter what version of Windows I have, those WinMDs and those versions will be guaranteed to me as an app developer. So I target UAP. And here's how I do it. This is the syntax you would see in the app manifest. And if you're an Android developer, this is a familiar scenario for you. The min version probably represents the version of UAP that you write this for in the first place. And so let's say we wrote it for 2. Of course, we don't even have one released yet, so this is all fictional. Yeah. But let's say you wrote it for 2, but then version 3, then 3.5 comes out, and you test, and you know that the workflow inside your application works just fine. And so you go ahead and say you can run this anywhere between 2 and 3.5. And so this is how we target that. It's inside our application, and it's beautiful. And we have all the guarantees of the contract that we saw in those files. And so every Windows device, and it's worth saying, not every Windows desktop device, every Windows desktop, every Windows mobile, like a tablet, every Windows phone, every IoT device, every Xbox, they all will have this universally across. Not only will they have Windows universally, they'll have UAP universally. Perfect. All right, let's talk about just laying out your solution, Andy. The good news is, it's what you already know.
It is. It's what you know. So no surprises here. If you've been developing for Windows 8.1, this will all look pretty familiar to you. Okay, this is a template that we've developed, which has got a lot of folders in it. But essentially, yes, there is a package.apex manifest.
Ah. Yep. So no change there. No doubt it's got a few new tags.
Oh, yeah. There's a few changes to it compared to 8.1. Yeah, but you've got a package.apex manifest. Is there a head? Well, yes, there is a single head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've now creating, so by head, what we mean there is a family-specific binary. But we've only got one binary, so we're just compiling once, and that one binary will run across all of our different families of devices.
Well, if you do want multiple heads, and you want to go back to the shared project style, and I say back to, that was just a few months ago.
Yeah.
But you want to go back to that. That's fully supported as well.
Absolutely.
It's whatever you
absolutely
want to. But, you know, the dream, right, the nirvana here is that we could have a single project, single binary. That's where we are. That's what we've got. But it's flexible, too. You can do whatever you need to. Remember the pound if we could trick the compiler, or we would be talking to the compiler and saying not to include certain blocks of code. Do we still have those pound if tags?
Well, yeah. So if you create a Windows UAP application, in the compiler conditional symbols, you get the Windows underscore UAP will be defined. So this only becomes of interest when you're sharing code at a code level between different projects, which was with Windows 8.1, this is how we did it. You had a shared project, and you kind of just shared all that code between your Windows head and your Windows phone head.
Yeah,
and
the good news is for developers didn't like that pound if, including me, right? I mean, it doesn't take long for it to be quite confusing and hard to read the code that you've got. The good news is you don't need to use pound if ever again. And so there's a whole way of sniffing to see whether or not certain things capabilities are on the device that you have. So you can totally look past that. Because if you think about it, the pound if is telling the compiler not to include a block of code. So if you have this pound if and you have this and not that, suddenly you have to have multiple binaries in order for it to work. But how can you solve it without pound if? We have API information for that. So the good news is, if you need pound if, supported. But if you don't like it, which most of us do not, and you want to have a single binary for every device, we have a solution for you.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, what about laying out your interface? Remember the old guidelines. And I say the old guidelines because it was a handful of months ago, and that's so yesterday. And what's changed with them? Well, there's good news there too, Andy.
Yeah, so the design of your XAML-based UI apps is just the same as it ever was. It's what you already know. So clean layout. Sure, we're changing the layout of sort of the icons. We're getting this new design language, so the appearance will change. But essentially, the way that you design an app to be used and give a great user experience to your users stays just the same. So focus on making sure that it's intuitive and easy to use and a pleasure to use. Focus on good white space and not cluttering up the UI, giving good quality experience. Be scalable, be accessible. So make sure that your app supports people with visual impairments all the stuff you already know.
Right. From a principle level, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some subtleties to make it unique to Windows 10, so it has its own brand. But at the level, it hasn't changed really at all.
No.
Really at all. All right. So let me just walk through and build an application for us. I will. I'll use Blend because I like Blend, and it's our tool for XAML developers. So this is Blend 2015. No doubt it will change by the time this video is released because it changes every day. And so I'll just open up just like I would in Visual Studio, I'll start up a brand new project here. This is going to be Windows 10 universal application. And so I have these nice helpers, the quick tasks that you have inside Visual Studio. I have those as well inside Blend as well. So it's just great. I can open up and use the designer just like in Visual Studio again, but this is sort of where the just like Visual Studio starts to slow down because there's a lot of capabilities inside Blend that are geared really to make a XAML developer more productive. One of the things that we didn't have in earlier versions of Blend was autocomplete inside XAML, of course, we have that now, full IntelliSense and everything that you would ever, snippets and on, all these pieces basically enabled because we're using the Visual Studio shell now instead of a proprietary shell just for Blend. So now Blend 2015 is using the Visual Studio shell, which gives us all of its capabilities. So I have the, I can look at all the different ways of seeing my application in the designer, so I can see it either as mobile, desktop, and then all the different sizes and all the different resolutions. And so let's create some sample data. I'll just call it sample data just for now. And so data management, resource management, these are all capabilities that are unique to Blend. So we've seen this before in older versions of Blend. And so those are all brought forward, so Blend users should be very comfortable. And so I can grab some of this, it's just design time data, really. But as soon as I drag it in, it'll actually be runtime data as well, if I set it to be. And so I can just run this. Let's start with running it, not on Windows, but let's start with the emulator. And so I'll run the Windows Phone emulator here. It'll launch it, deploy my application. Of course, it's just like Visual Studio. All the debugging features that I'm used to are all here as well. And so there's that data that it created for me. This is the same sample data that's been in Blend really from the beginning. These chairs have really been around. And so you see here, I'm using the very familiar pivot control, and then inside it is a list box as well. And so what's great is, that, remember, it's one binary for everything, so now I can go up and switch it from being the phone emulator to local machine, so it's running here on Windows. And when I run it here on Windows, nothing changes. Single binary, all the same controls now are shared across all of them. You can see it's a windowed application, which is pretty cool. And you can also see that I'm using, of course, a list view. I'd probably want to switch something out so it handles it slightly differently. But you can see that it's a list view in a pivot. We didn't have pivot control in Windows before. All of those have been now converged into a single toolbox across all the different devices. So a lot of power there as well. It's really, really great. As far as a Blend experience, the developer, even now, you can change it. You know, a lot of developers get uncomfortable when it's a black environment like this, so they want to change it to be whatever. All the themes of Visual Studio come across, as well as my ability to log in so I can interact with not just visuals, not just source control, but as well as my settings roam and a lot of the candy that I get from Visual Studio right here in Blend. Anyway, that's all there was to it. I mean, I just said file new project, and I just pick where I want to run. That one binary just runs in whichever. If I had an Xbox sitting here, we could run it there as well.
Yeah, that's pretty nice how Blend has kind of grown up, if you like. It's a load of people have been asking for things like IntelliSense and the proper code editing support in Blend. So you know, like, not only has our Windows dev platform converged across our different devices, but our dev tools are converged as well. So really, Blend and Visual Studio are the same, give you the same tooling, but they're focused on slightly different
tasks. They are. They're really for the XAML kind of task that you have. Universal apps run on every device. I think that's the important takeaway.
That's a key message,
that's not because it's a shared kernel. It's not even because there's a Windows core across all the devices. It's because of this universal app contract, this guarantee, the platform that goes all the way across every device. And the UAP is all the way across, all the way down to IoT. So I write this application. Obviously, I'm going to have some considerations for a device that's about that small and doesn't have a monitor, so I'm going to need to think about what needs to happen there. But the reality is, one binary runs across all of them. I now have, it's the dream. We've finally hit where we wanted to go.
Yeah, so I think that's an important message, isn't it? That we're not saying, lowest common denominator, you have to come up with this dumb UI that will kind of magically work across. No, we've got great tools to enable to create UIs that shine on different devices, but all your logic, all the binary, it's all the same. It's all built on the same
and
platform.
Now companies have the agility now to react to business conditions that change. They're like, man, I wish we could run this on the phone. Well, let's make sure the UI looks good on the phone because it does run on the phone. Man, I really wish this could run on Xbox. Well, let's make sure the UI looks good on Xbox because it does run on Xbox. And you can kind of go from there to there, and it's not let's build the Xbox app.
We're really lowering the barriers for moving your app onto different families of devices substantially. So it's really good, really cool.
This is Windows 10 preview. And so this was our Hello World, right? Just creating a simple app and running it on two platforms, something you could do today very easily, running it on UAP, on the Universal App Platform. And we talked about the solution structure. We talked about the UI, those things that really haven't changed fundamentally. Download Visual Studio 2015 Preview. Try this for yourself. Run Hello World on phone, on desktop, and just know you could even run it on Xbox too. Then, watch another module.